this. Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance are coming up on Sunday night. Paxson. One more. Here it comes. So episodes 5 and 6 on ESPN of The Last Dance, the story of the Bulls and Jordan in their last championship year. And it was nice in the first couple of episodes to see Ray Clay, the ringside announcer, make a couple of cameos. He's an old neighbor of mine. Hey, Ray, how you doing, man?
From WGN AM 720, John Williams.
I am so saving that. Dave Ennett, do you even have one of those?
No, I don't have one, but I think you deserve that, John.
Oh, man.
That was nicely done, Ray.
I didn't ask for that, Ray. Ray, would you do one for Dave Ennett, please?
Sure. From WGN AM 720 Sports, Dave Ennett.
His family's in the other room going, honey, shut up.
Yeah,
please.
It's going to be his new doorbell.
I'm telling you, I don't know how I'm going to use that, but you have not heard that for the last time. I promise that.
Oh, boy.
I mean, you could charge for that. I hope you have over the years, Ray. Do you own the rights to talk like that? And can a fella make a living doing that after the Bulls?
I don't know.
No comment.
Some weddings. I've done some bar mitzvahs.
I know you have. I think I've been to one where you announced the starting lineup at one groomsman.
Yes, sure.
So how were you there for all six championship seasons, or what years were you there for, Ray?
Yeah, I was there for all six championships. I started in 90, the year before their first championship. I started in the just before the playoffs, and that was the year that they lost to Detroit.
Yeah.
And then from then on, that was me.
I want to ask you about your style and your announcing, but let's just cut to the chase. Four episodes in the can. What do you think about the way they're telling the Bulls' story? You were ringside at all of the home games. What do you think of the way ESPN is telling that story so far?
I think it's pretty great. You know, it brings the circus back, because that's what we all called it, was the circus, because there was just so much going on. This ring had something going on. That ring had something going on. So you had, you know, the Michael story. You had the Scotty story. You had the Dennis story. You had the Phil story. You had the Jerry Krause story. I mean, it was really crazy.
Do you think it's been fair and relatively accurate? I mean, you weren't a beat reporter, but you were as close as they were. Are they telling the story correctly, do you think?
From what I know and from what I've heard, it sounds pretty accurate, I think.
Ray, you were such a big part of it, and that part of the introduction, which was always an event at the United Center when those games, I actually going back to Chicago Stadium, I guess. When those were there ever times where players came to you and made specific requests as to, kind of like guys do in baseball with their walk up music?
Yeah, right.
Did they ever come and make specific requests how they would like to be introduced?
No, not really. You know, the Bulls management would come and say, hey, you know, when you introduce this guy, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. You know, like Luke Longley, when we acquired Luke prior to the second three-peat, you know, they really wanted me to emphasize the Luke Longley kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that's kind of funny, because I've wondered if guys would say, I want you to say this or say that, introduce me in a certain way. Walk-up songs certainly have become more prominent or more of a feature. Who picked out the Alan Parsons Project for the bed for that?
That was Tommy Edwards, who was on WLS.
How about
Tommy
that?
Was the PA guy prior to me.
Yeah, right.
And there's quite a bunch of stories going on. You know, I owe my success to Tommy. He was the guy who found that instrumental bed and got that whole thing started. And you know, I just happened to be the lucky recipient. You know, what I've always said is, you know, there's many people who write great songs. You know, the songwriter who doesn't get the notoriety, it's the person who sings the song gets the notoriety. So I guess I was the lucky guy who sang the song.
And really the lucky guy who sat down then, right? I mean, you could have been there and you could have been the Tommy Edwards, if you will, right up to the point where they won the championships. But you were there for the championship run. You were seeing the greatest team play the greatest game at the highest level. I mean, really, pinch yourself or think about that sometimes, Ray, how fortunate you were to be where you were when you were?
Oh, definitely. You know, it was just an amazing time to be around Chicago sports, and especially around the Chicago Stadium and the United Center. And, you know, to think that I had a center court seat for the whole thing, you know, for those wonderful years.
Is there a shot, a play, a moment, a game? I mean, when you tell your Michael Jordan or Bulls stories, what comes to mind?
You know, there's so many of them. The first world championship when we were playing the Lakers, and you know, you always see the shot of Michael going in for the layup, and he changes hands and he flips it up with his left hand when he started with his right. You know, winning the championships in the buildings were really fantastic.
Those things, those plays happen so quickly, too. You know, it's like we watch them on ESPN or the highlights that night on TV, or you can rewatch the game. But I wonder in real time if you even had the opportunity to appreciate some of the things you were seeing. You know, I wonder if you sort of got so used to it that it sort of, you know, diminished how extraordinary some of the things were that you were seeing.
I actually missed quite a bit. You know, again, in addition to calling who made the basket or who the foul was on, you know, I had to read the timeout reads, the sponsor kind of thing. So, you know, a lot of times I'm looking in my book to see what's coming up next, and all of a sudden somebody makes a great shot, and I look up and I go, what happened?
Yeah, right. You hear the crowd. I don't know if anybody's ever done this, Dave. Ray went to all the Bulls games, of course, and some others. But if I was ever an announcer, I wanted to be the guy that would go, you know, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen. I would do that. Basket by Jordan. But then I always thought it would be fun if whenever the other team scored a point and you had to say basket by, I would always do it so dismissively that it would be its own kind of comedy. Like I would just go, basket by Snart.
Well, I mean, isn't that sort of, Ray, the way that things ended for you with the Bulls?
Pretty much so, yeah.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Well, there was a certain number 23 who retired from one of the teams and started playing for another team, which was Washington. And Washington was coming into the United Center to play against the Bulls. And one of the beat reporters came up to me prior, a couple weeks prior to when the game was happening, and said, hey, Ray, you know, Michael Jordan's coming back with the Wizards. How are you going to introduce him? And I said, to be honest with you, I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody, but, you know, I would assume since the guy's got a statue out in front of the building that he's going to get the full Michael Jordan. Well, all of a sudden, you know, like 20 minutes later, you know, one of the Bulls management staff comes up to me and says, what are you talking about, you know, telling people how we're going to introduce Michael Jordan? And I said, you guys hadn't told me what you wanted to do, so I just assumed. He says, well, you shouldn't do that. You know, don't talk to any reporters. And then the next day I get a call from Jay Mariotti, and, you know, Jay starts adding little gasoline to the fire.
Gosh, that's so unlike Jay. I'm shocked to hear that.
I said, Jay, I really can't comment. I'm sorry. You know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he calls and says, well, you know, what are you going to do with Ray Clay? And I get another phone call. Don't talk to the press. And they go, I didn't.
And then?
So, you know, so Michael came out for that game in January, and it was from North Carolina, a 6'6 guard, Michael Jordan.
Just like that, you mean flat? You didn't exaggerate?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because I knew everybody in the world was going to be listening to me and how I did it. You know, that's the way it was. And then funny thing was, a year later, after I was not there anymore, Steve Scott was the PA announcer, and, you know, Steve gave it the full Michael Jordan.
Well, when if Mark Grace leaves the Cubs to go play in Arizona and then comes back, he gets a standing ovation of appreciation from the fans for thanks for your service to the club. I mean, that's understood and expected. I would fully expect the announcer, especially Michael Jordan, to embrace it, but you felt handcuffed, huh?
Well, you know, the thing was, I gave him the flat Michael Jordan, and he still got a 5-minute ovation.
I mean, we're not rooting for you, Michael, but we could be kind of stand up about it. It's maybe the equivalent of, Dave, do you shake the hand of the opponent after they beat you for the championship? And the answer is yes, you're supposed to shake their hand.
Well, I mean,
unless you walk off the court.
Oh, well, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
but we're not the champions. Six championships and returning to, I remember that day. I think the Bears played a playoff game that same day. It was a crazy weekend in Chicago, and it was just sort of one of those things where you wonder, why would you not want to give him the full conquering hero returning treatment?
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know. That's one of those things. Were you bitter about it, Ray, the way it ended?
I wasn't really bitter. It's just one of those things that happened. I probably shouldn't have opened my mouth and said anything. I should have deferred to management, you know, right from the start. But,
well,
you know,
I don't
know. What
are you going to
do?
Well, exactly. What are you going to do, right? I mean, these people sounded temperamental enough to me that if you didn't do what they wanted, then you wouldn't be sitting courtside anymore. So maybe you're between a rock and a hard place. But isn't that all just a little emblematic of how much it seems like they didn't know what they had or fully appreciate what they have? I mean, a lot of this series so far, after 4 episodes, is about, do we try and keep the team together? How are we going to recreate this? And they so overthought it. They so didn't appreciate Scottie Pippen, at least for the 6-year run. He made a lot of money with the Bulls afterwards, but I don't think Jerry Krause or Jerry Reinsdorf are coming off that well as they tell this series story so far.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, management always seems to catch the brunt when there's the bad news.
Well, we asked Jerry Reinsdorf to come on. I hope he will maybe when the series is over, just to get his sort of take on this. How does he feel about how it's being told? They all sat down for the interviews. Did you get interviewed for it? Are we going to see a one-on-one with Ray Clay?
No, nothing like that. But
huge mistake. Huge gaffe on their part.
From what I understand, I'm going to be in a couple of more of the episodes, so we'll wait and see what they dig up.
Hey, Ray, when Michael used to make his way past the scorer's table and used to clap the chalk, the powder, and get Red Kerr and Jim Durham right in the face, or Tom Doerr, whoever it was, were you also a recipient of that? Did you get some of the residue?
No, actually, everything stayed down at the other end, thank God.
Did you get a ring? What's your favorite memento from the Bulls championship runs, Ray?
I actually got a watch for each of the championships. So I've got 6 watches that sit in the box downstairs somewhere.
Wow. What's your home address, by the way?
Come on over.
Do you wear them? I've seen you many times. I don't know that I've known to look. Do you wear those wristwatches?
Very seldom.
Yeah.
Very seldom.
Yeah. So they got the logo or emblem on there, something fancy like that?
Yeah, there's a Bulls head on each of the watches.
Yeah, all right. Well, it's nice to, I saw you, the spotlight fell on you. I think it was the first episode, wasn't it, Ray?
Yeah, at the very end of the first, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I hope
Ray's again,
there.
I wasn't sure, you know, if I was going to be in anything or what, and then all of a sudden, there's my puss.
Well, I think, I mean, but if you're going to tell the Bulls story for that run, this, I mean, you can't tell the story, say, if you said, tell me about the Chicago Blackhawks and their championship run, you would have to include the opening montage or at least the national anthem. It's as much a part of the game as the game. Your introduction became a signature part of that Bulls team, so they have to include that. I think they, you know, they haven't edited episodes 9 and 10. I think a little 10-minute feature on Ray Clay would fit very nicely into the very end of this thing, Ray.
Yeah, and I'd be happy to have you as my agent.
Well, just listen to this, Ray Clay.
From WGN AM 720, John Williams!
Huh? You want me to get you one
of
those,
amazing.
Dave? You wanted me to get you one of those, Dave? I'll have
yes.
Ashley cut. Oh, you've got Dave Ennett's as well? All right, here it is. 3, 2, 1.
From WGN AM 720 Sports, Dave Ennett!
So now Dave and I,
ringtone.
Dave and I are standing next to each other, chalking our hands, ready to take on the world. Ray Clay, nice job, man. Good to hear your voice. My best to Debbie and your family, and you all stay well, okay?
Thank you, John. You too. Take care.
Thanks,
bye,
Ray.
Dave.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? I guess we appreciated the Bulls when they were doing what they were doing. But looking back now, you really appreciate how extraordinary it was. Right? Because
no.
What we have now is not anything like that. What anybody has now is not anything like that.
Well, just, John, at the beginning, when you played the introduction of that, and it's your world champion Chicago Bulls, we heard that for so many years.
Yeah.
Every game. You know? And at the time, you're like...
Yeah, that's us.
Yeah,
La-dee-da.
That's pretty good.
Sometimes the greatest players in the world don't play on the greatest teams. A lot of times it does line up. But, for instance, LeBron James wasn't always on a championship team. For that matter, Michael wasn't either. But, I mean, when LeBron was playing as well as LeBron would ever play, he wasn't always on a championship team. But Michael Jordan was. So you just had this really extraordinary group of athletes complementing each other so well. And then showcasing it all was the best player to ever lace him up, Michael Jordan. So it was just really, really special. And if you do that for 6 out of 8 years, was it 6 out of 8 years? Jordan was off in the middle for 2 seasons.
One and a half. Or a little more.
You know, I could see how you would get a little complacent about it, but then you think back to it. Just listening to that introduction, you go, oh, I want one of those.
Well, then you think, six finals, 6 championships.
Right. Right.
Right. I mean, that's the separator in my mind.
Yeah. Well, and that they didn't lose a seventh. The team was essentially not right. Who was on the after the second three-peat? What was the starting lineup for that team? You'd have to go back and dig that up for me.
But Tony Kukoc was there.
Yeah.
Still.
Right. Yeah.
But
yeah.
It was a much different team very quickly.
All right, so episodes 5 and 6 over the weekend. It's 10:27, and this is WGN. Nice to hear your voice, Dave. Thanks for working overtime for us.
Thanks, John. Talk to you tonight.